Well, happy Sabbath. It was definitely a pleasure to be here. I like to walk, so I don't want to make sure I don't trip down the steps. But it's definitely a pleasure to be here, and I'm so happy to spend the Sabbath with you all. And tomorrow we're going to be having a delicious cooking class. So that's going to be tomorrow, I believe, at 2:30. And like I always say, my name is Chef Chu, and as I always say, going to give you something to chew on. And so I'm excited today. I'm going to talk a little bit about my personal story, my passion for food, and just how not only was Christ a carpenter, I like to say Christ was also a missionary chef. Amen? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So we're going to start out this morning with a word of prayer. Good to see my good friend, Ms. Bernadette. How you doing, Ms. Bernadette? And I'm just happy to be here. So let's go ahead and bow our heads so we can for prayer. Father, we want to thank you so much for this opportunity to spend this wonderful Sabbath, this day of rest. I think about John the Revelator, Lord, who you came to on that Sea of Patmos, Lord, when he was all by himself, but you came and spoke your words of life, your words of hope and love. And I just pray today, Lord, on this Sabbath day, that you would speak your words of truth, speak your words of love to all of us today. Forgive us for our sins, dear God. We know we can do nothing without you. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit might truly come into our presence and that we would truly experience your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So again, my last name is actually Chu, C-H-E-W. And I was actually crazy enough adopted at birth into a family with the last name Chu. And it's pretty interesting. I'm going to talk a little bit about that story. I met my biological father's family last year, and it's a miracle story with that. And I will be sharing that a little bit of that in my sermon. But, you know, I was adopted into a family with the last name Chu, and my family ate a lot of meat. I mean, everything from fried chicken to ribs, pork chops, ham. My father literally sat in the window and shot squirrels. That's how country my father was. And I was like, he always teased me, said, man, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, they ate possum. And I was 10 years from eating possum. I thank you for that. Thank God for that. Amen. And so I couldn't imagine it. But again, my family was a very, you know, southern family, country, and just loved to eat. And food for me, food was really a part of my culture. And this my best memories were built around food. I mean, many of us, we can think of holidays like Christmas and, you know, and Thanksgiving and this different times our families get together. But what do we normally do when we get together for those holidays?
Eat.
We eat, right? We chew, right? We love to come together and we eat over a good meal. Some of our deepest conversations, whether it's an intimate conversation, is probably over a dinner or over a time where we bring our children over and we just have an intimate conversation at the kitchen table. And so food for us becomes a really big part of our culture, a big part of our identity. And so when I became vegetarian, you know, then went vegan, my family, especially my father's side of the family, they thought I was crazy, right? They thought I lost my mind. And so, interesting enough, I became a vegetarian and vegan when I was about 18 years old. And I began to read and study the mission that our church had as it related to healthy eating and vegetarianism and so forth. And sadly, a lot of times we talk about the health message in our church. We've had a lot of experiences at times where it comes off kind of negative. Well, people come at you and say, you gotta eat this way, and if you don't, then they say things that's not the nicest. Anybody ever experienced that before? And so sometimes you can use going plant-based or becoming vegan, you can use it as a weapon. And honestly, God never wanted to use healthy eating or lifestyle change as a weapon. He always wanted to provide something better. Does that make sense? That is the mission of God. Christ always wanted to provide something better. And so years ago, I read this wonderful, amazing scripture in the book of Joel, and it says this, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall do what? Shall prophesy, and your young men shall do what? Shall see visions, and your old men shall dream what?
Dreams.
And years ago, I began to read the scriptures. I started reading the writings of Ellen White, and I started to see how there was a powerful and an amazing call to start vegan and vegetarian restaurants. Anybody read that before? Amazing enough, in 1901, we're going to read some of those councils. In 1901, Ellen White was given a vision to start, for the church to start hygienic restaurants, is what they called them back then, to start plant-based restaurants. And what year I say? 1901. Now, again, we've all seen in the last 5 years how the world is literally adopting a what? A plant-based lifestyle. And over 120 plus years ago, we were given this amazing counsel to start this type of lifestyle, to actually become pioneers and literally become leaders in that space and become a leader in that. And so for me, I began to dream dreams. I began to have a vision. And I started asking God, how can I create a chicken that looks like chicken, that tastes like chicken, but guess what? It ain't chicken. Crispy on the outside and white in the middle. It's delicious. I began to ask God to teach me how to do that. And so my life work literally became focusing on how to create something better. So again, my story again, I was adopted at birth into the family with the last name Chu. And again, my best memories were around food, and I wanted to create something better. And this became a really big part and an essential part of my experience. I want to go here. If you turn into your Bibles, Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. This is a very powerful scripture. Very powerful scripture, Isaiah 58. And I want to start here as we go through our study this morning, Isaiah 58. And all throughout scriptures, I've shared with you guys, God always found himself wanting to always meet the needs of his children and meet the needs of his people. Even from the book of Genesis, when we go back to the book of Genesis, there were times when God had to feed his children. If you remember, Abraham had a son. What was Abraham's son?
Isaac.
Isaac had two sons. What were their names?
Esau and Jacob.
Jacob became Israel, and Israel had how many sons? 12 sons. One of those sons were obviously stoned into slavery. The brothers didn't like him. His name was
Joseph.
Joseph then, through all those life circumstances, Joseph was sold into slavery, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Then he was thrown into prison, and he found himself prophesying dreams. You know, Joseph's dreams got him in trouble. You remember that story? Isn't that something where your dreams can actually get you in trouble? I mean, he was given dreams by God, but it seemed as if his dreams got him into problems, into trouble. But again, when it's God's dream, God doesn't always say it's going to be easy, does it? So Joseph found himself having these dreams, and he found himself in the prison cell. But soon, Joseph found himself in Pharaoh's house, literally commanding the entire, literally almost the then known world at that point. He became second in charge in Egypt and literally controlling the assets and the resources of Pharaoh's army and Pharaoh's host. And we know the story that there was a what? There was a famine in the land, amen? And God gave what? Joseph a dream to be able to save literally that his family, the world at that point, and he was able to preserve the food to be able to give the people something to chew on. Did you guys get that? Come on now. We go further in scripture. Remember the story of children of Israel. Now, you remember the story. They, you know, Joseph met his brothers. They were in a famine. They were starving. And Joseph kind of played little tricks on them and so forth. But eventually, they found that that was Joseph. And he gave them food, brought his father back to them. And they were all reunited. And now they're literally staying in the city of Goshen outside of Egypt. And now they become this mighty nation. And soon there was a Pharaoh that Joseph did not know. And that Pharaoh took the children of Israel into slavery. Amen? And now we find ourselves going through that 400 years of slavery with the children of Israel. And now they're in bondage. And we find at this point that God is coming to Moses and saying, "Let my people go." And now the story goes on. And now we find that, again, I always say Christ wasn't just a carpenter. He was also a chef. Now we find ourselves, now the children of Israel are going through the wilderness, and now they're going through the Red Sea. Now the Red Sea parts, they're in the wilderness, and they find themselves in the wilderness, and they ate good in Egypt. You know how they was talking about it, right? Yeah. They was like, "Man, we had some leeks, we had some onions, and now God is trying to give us a vegetarian diet. Come on, man." They was like, "Man, where the chicken at? Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about, right?" I mean, they was mad. They was like, man, where is it at? And they wanted some chicken, but God was like, nope, I got something better. I got something healthier because your lifestyle has not been the best. I want to give you something that's going to actually build your body up and prepare you for what's coming. And God says, I'm going to rain food down from where?
Heaven.
Come on, y'all getting excited? I always said to myself, I said, man, Lord, you taught me how to make this chicken that looks like chicken. I think it tastes like manna. I just believe it just tastes a little bit like manna because I tell you, it's some kind of good. But I can only imagine the angels baking that bread in heaven, and they just come like this, pop, and this comes on down. Come on now, y'all. Tastes like honey. I mean, it's heavenly. I mean, I don't even know what ingredients they were using in heaven because it's not the same ingredients here, but we know in heaven they was cooking that bread, they was baking that bread. How in the, it might have been all raw foods. I don't know how they did it, but all I know is, can you imagine waking up and just seeing a delicious, sweet, savory, I mean, this all this goodness on the ground, and you can get as much as you need, only as much as you need. Now, some of y'all are going to be greedy, though. I know how it is. Get a little bit more than you need, but if you get more than you need, what would happen to it? It would spoil, right?
Yep.
So you got it. God provided them exactly what they needed. In their time of famine, their time of need, God, Jesus, just like the Bible says, as they were in the wilderness, Christ was that rock that was with them in the wilderness. And I want to propose today, saints, is that Christ is always with us in the most difficult times that we go through.
Amen.
He is always there to provide for us what we cannot provide for ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
And the good thing about it was they had to cook it. Lord knows, my wife sometimes, she look at me like, I ain't trying to wash these dishes. Lord Jesus, thank you. Ain't nothing like having, you got to get the kids up in the morning. My wife looking at me right now. You got to get the kids up in the morning. You got to get all the food made. You got to prepare the lunch. And I ain't going to lie, she does most of that. I should do more. I'm confessing now. But it's a lot, you know, every day. Cooking food and making food and dishes. And all the children of Israel had to do was what? Just eat that fresh manna man made. They had to wash no dishes after that. They just had to pick it up and eat it. But you know what they started doing? Complaining. You know, it's interesting, when God has something better for us, we tend at times to resist. We tend at times to reject. We tend at times to complain, not recognizing the very thing that is a blessing, many times we begin to call it a what? A curse. And I want to propose today is that, saints, we have been having a health message that has been a blessing, but sadly, we have at times turned it into a curse. We made a message that was to be giving life and vitality to God's children. We made it sometimes a weapon for salvation. If you don't eat a certain way, then you're not saved or you're not spiritual. And God did not want that message to be used as a tool, as a weapon, to get people to feel or fear that they didn't eat a certain way, that they wouldn't actually be going to heaven. That was not the intent of the gospel. The gospel was to be grace and love and beauty and something better. And if you eat something that's better for you, you're going to feel better. You're going to look better. You're going to see better. You're going to, all those things are going to start working better. So it was to be a blessing, not a curse. Isaiah 58 kind of talks about how the children of Israel begin to fast more so to look at themselves as if they were more spiritual. So they begin to eat or deny themselves or whatever they were doing at this point. They started looking at them fasting and all these outward things that they were doing as a means of thinking that this was making them more holier. It can obviously, yes, eating healthier and taking care of your bodies, you take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit, but it's not in the sense of that it's going to make me more righteous. I do it because God wants me to have a holy temple, but not so that people can look at me and think that I'm holier or mightier than anyone else. And so we look at Isaiah 58, and it goes, I'm going to start in verse 3, and it says, verse 2, yet they seek me daily and to delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. And ask of me the ordinance of justice, they take delight in approaching God. So these are people that are not, you know, not worshiping. These are individuals that are literally going to the sanctuary every Sabbath. They're serving the Passover and all the rituals that God has asked us to do. And look at what it says. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. So they're doing all these things and say, look at us. We're doing everything that God is asking us to do, but they're missing the point. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. So again, when we think about the health message, it's not to be eating. I'm a vegan and I don't eat cheese and I don't eat meat and look at me and all that. That's not the purpose of it. It's yes, you're going to feel good. And it should taste good too. Amen. That's important. I know when I came to my dad, country guy, country, grew up a country boy. And I'm coming home with the chicken that ain't chicken. If it ain't good, my pops ain't going to want to eat it. And I can't say, Papa, you don't eat this meat. You don't eat this vegan. You know, you're not going to, you know, I can't come at them that way. So I had to create it in a way that was going to be something better. And so they had this mindset that what they were doing were making them better than everybody else. And they had this idea that they wanted to keep it to themselves. Where God is like, no, this is a blessing. It says, verse 5, is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? And I tell you, it's nothing like a mean vegan. Anybody met a mean vegan before? When you just mean. I mean, you just eat vegan, I don't eat nothing. You go to everybody, I don't want nothing you got. And you just mean about it. I've been there before. But how are you going to be eating vegan to be mean? That ain't the purpose. It should make you happy. Amen. So here it says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? So it goes on in verse 6. So here's Christ saying. He's breaking it down now. Look, that is not the purpose of all of this. Verse 6, is not this the fast that I have what? Have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. The things that God has given us that's like the health message and all these things that God has shown us as a church, it's not for us to hold on to and say, look at us, we're better than everybody else. It's to be used as a means to help people to be set free. Amen. People are dying. I do a lot of work, as a pastor shared, I do a lot of work in communities that suffer with or are suffering with disease and heart disease and diabetes and cancer. And many times people just need to be exposed to something better. They need to be able to taste something that tastes good. I had the privilege this week. I was in a high school in Vallejo, and I had my first time I'm doing my first culinary program and in high school. And I was able to, I did 6 periods. Can you imagine? I haven't been to school in 20 years. And I was literally a teacher. And they gave me, I'm like, 6 periods? Good grief. Like, y'all just really put me out in the fire today. Hey, kudos to any teachers out here today. 6 periods was like, I was dead. But I got home that night, I was like, I'm out. I don't want to do nothing. But I tell you, I had 6 periods. Each class is about 18 to 25 kids. And I was able to expose these kids to healthy eating. I made a delicious vegan Philly cheesesteak quesadilla. Woo, man. I said, it looked like a steak, tastes like a steak, but guess what? It ain't steak. And man, those kids, I was having a good time with these kids. I was laughing with them. We was rapping and singing songs and just having a wonderful experience. But I had to be on their level. I had to meet them where they were. I had to become friends with them in that short period and say to myself, this might be the last time I ever see these kids. How can I make the greatest impact in this 45 minutes of time that I have with these kids? And I will tell you, God worked miracles that day. I mean, really, he worked miracles. Amazing experience with these kids. And I'm seeing that again, that this message, again, many times we keep it to ourselves. And God is saying, no, I want to bring it to the people. And it's not just to be healthy. God is also saying, again, we eat healthy because, yes, it does help us to be closer to our Savior. So, again, God says, loose the bands of wickedness. Be a blessing to the people. Then it goes on and says this. This is what we're going to find in the story that we read earlier in the book of John where Jesus fed the 5,000. But it says, is it not to deal thy what? Thy bread to the hungry. And that thou bringest the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. And so Christ is saying to us is that these blessings, these ministries that we're doing as a church, I know you guys are starting doing Feeding the Sacramento State College, as the pastor was sharing with me. All these things are to be a blessing to our community. We want to deal our bread to the hungry. And as we share the physical bread, many times the physical bread leads to a conversation about the spiritual bread. Amen. As we meet the needs, Christ's method alone will bring true success in reaching the people. As we meet the needs of individuals, now we become able more effectively to be able to reach the soul. Amen? It says, as it goes forth. So as we do this, what's the blessing for us? Here's the blessing that God wanted to see happen for the children of Israel and also for us. Then shall thy what? Light break forth. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall do what? Spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy real reward. So Christ says, listen, your health shall spring forth speedily. So again, many times we look at health solely from a physical perspective. We look at health solely from the standpoint where I'm eating healthy, my body is good, but I'm learning. My wife has been studying about trauma and trauma-informed care and the importance of having the mind right. Amen? Amen. You can be an angry vegan. You can hold to a lot of bitterness and be eating really healthy and exercising every single day. But holistically, we need holistic health. We need the mind to be right. We need the body to be right. We need all of us to be right. We need to become spiritually whole. Jesus said to the man, wilt thou be made what? Whole. That is the health that Christ is talking about when your health should return speedily. The secret of overcoming is as we help others to overcome. That's the secret. And so Christ is saying to live is to give. Give them something to chew on. Give them something better. Give them something that's going to help bring life into their life. And as you go out and serve others, I'm going to also pour right back into you. Amen. Amen. Then shall thy light bring forth at the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Can you imagine that, saints? When you call on the Lord, and he says, here I am. Christ is waiting to work miracles in behalf of us, this church, our community. He's waiting as we connect with him, as we cooperate with him. Jesus is waiting to have his glory to be seen, the light to go forth. He's waiting to be used and to use our talents and our hands to be a blessing to others. Here I am, if thou take away thy foot, so take away from thy midst of thy yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, it says, and if thou draw thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and the darkness be as the noonday. Here's the blessing of God. God is waiting to work miracles. God is waiting to do something so amazing. Pastor Rob called me we met about a year ago, and he told me about this vision. He was coming to Sacramento. He wanted to see a restaurant start in Sacramento. Who wants to see a restaurant in Sacramento? Raise your hand. Come on. Is it possible? Come on. We see all these restaurants popping up over time. Why don't we have one? Am I saying it right? God wants to see this happen, saints. Is it turning? It's not going. I think it turned it. I'm not sure what's happening right now. My clicker's not working. There we go. I'm going to keep going. All right, so I'm going to keep going. So God wants to see a restaurant right here, and guess where? Sacramento. I think he can do it, amen? I'm going to go to the book of Matthew 14. And this is working again. Thank you. And amazingly, I moved here. My wife and I moved here 2014. And we came here with hardly any money. Broke as I don't know what. My son was like a year old. He was a little baby. Little old fat cheeks and this cute as a button. And we had this vision. We had this dream to come to Oakland, California to start a restaurant. And we was invited here by a Northern California conference. And I can say God worked a miracle and we started a vegan restaurant in Oakland. Amen? Amen. And we served all this delicious good food. I got the chicken that looks like chicken, the ribs that look like ribs, the mac and cheese that look like cheese, but it ain't cheese, but I call it mac and chew. Amen. Come on now. You know, I got to slide over no country boy greens. I love me some greens. I don't know if you guys ever had no collards and kale, and it's just seasoned to perfection. I mean, it's like a broth that has hits the soul. Woo, man, it tastes good to talk about it. Amen. But we made good food for the community. We're a blessing for our community. And you see here, wherever medical missionary work is carried on in our large cities, cooking schools should be what? Now, I want y'all to understand this. This is the blueprint on how you start working a city and bringing health to a community. And it says whenever a missionary work is being carried on in the large cities, what should be held? Cooking schools should be held. And wherever a strong educational work is in progress, it says, what should start next? A restaurant, a hygienic restaurant. We don't really say that we're hygienic, but I'm just gonna say a plant-based vegan restaurant of some sort should be established, which should give a practical illustration of the proper selection and the healthy preparation of foods. And it says what? Men, and I say women, and men and women shall what? Dream dreams, 1901. This is the blueprint. Guess what we're gonna be doing tomorrow here in Sacramento, y'all? Cooking class. Cooking class. I'm claiming it. 100 years later, you about to start. It takes a vision, though. Somebody got to dream a little bit. Dream a little bit. We sell here our products, our Better Chew products. I did some dreaming. We're actually in the Sacramento Co-op. We're in Whole Foods here. Now we're working with, guess what, Target. Can you guys imagine? Wow. God is doing some amazing stuff. Amen. There's a work to be done where? In California. But what year was this again? 1901, a work that has been strangely neglected. Let this work be delayed no longer as doors open for the presentation of truth. It says, let us be ready to enter. Some work has been done in the large city. Where? That was 1901. There was only one restaurant that we had that the church has ever done that I know of. And it's been 120 years. We should have had 5,000 of them by now. I mean, you know how many Subways and McDonald's and Wendy's there are? It's like thousands of them. They figured it out. It's killing people though, right? They're getting better though, I will say that. They're getting a little bit better. It's funny, if you ever read, go into one of I won't name any names, but if you just read some of the restaurants and read the nutritional information, and they say on the website, they will say, it says warning. They have a warning on the website, on the description, on the chicken. Warning, this calorie content is way more than your daily value. Wow. Eat at your risk. You know what we do every day? We eat it. And so God wants us to do something better. God wants us to, I went all the way back, sorry. Go back. Yes. So in San Francisco, a housing and restaurant has been open. It says a food store and treatment rooms. These are doing a good work. But she says the influence should be what? Greatly. Not just a little bit. Greatly extended. Other restaurants similar to the one on Market Street should be open in San Francisco and in Oakland. And I want to say God did that. We actually opened a restaurant in Oakland. I believe Ellen White was talking about me in this scripture. I mean, in this quote. She was talking about Chef Chu. Amen. I always say, live in the page. You know, it's amazing when you read the counsels of Ellen White and then you see it come to life. 100 years later, I was like, wow, I was in the book. Chef Chu, it was me. I know it was me. Thank you for engaging my humor. My dream right now is 10 cities, 10 restaurants. First stop is guess where? Vallejo. We're opening on May 28th, Lord willing. We have the Better Chew Kitchen. Amen? Better Chew Kitchen. We're excited. Got the delicious Better Chew chicken sandwich, all plant-based. We have a manufacturing plant in Vallejo as well. Been there for 5 years. We literally make our products from non-GMO organic ingredients. We go all the way from the bean, and we literally take the bean and go all the way to the finished protein. It's amazing. And I tell you, only God could have did that in my life. And I'm just here today to tell you, saints, I don't have enough time to really share all the beautiful things that God has done. But I will say that God can work miracles. When you just have a little bit of faith, as small as a mustard seed, God can turn that into a forest. My wife and I and my kids, we went to the redwood trees in Santa Cruz about a month ago. And I love the redwood trees because the redwood trees, you know how the redwood trees get so tall? Anybody know? Obviously the sunshine and the light and all that type of stuff, and it shoots to the sky. But there's something that you can't see that makes the redwood tree so powerful and why they grow so tall. Underneath of the ground, there's what? The roots. Now notice, a redwood tree always grows in a grove. You ever notice that? You ever go to the redwood trees? It's always going to be in a grove. But what happens is that those redwood trees, their root systems, they don't actually go deep. I thought the redwood trees, the reason they grew so tall, because their roots went so deep, right? That makes sense, right? Deep roots, tall tree. But what happens with the redwood tree, they grow in a grove, and the grove, the roots of these trees interlock with one another, and they grow shallow. The tree's roots grow as wide as they grow what? Tall. And all the roots of all those trees are interconnected, making them really just like one strong tree. That's the church. Each individual has a talent. You have a gift. You have a skill. You have a blessing. You have a smile. You have whatever God has given you, small, big, large, all of it's important. When the church works together, you become like that redwood forest. Amen. Amen. Interconnected, growing tall, being a blessing to all the animals and the bugs and the insects and the people that like us that like to go there and just look at the beauty. You become a blessing to the world. The redwood forest. And so as I looked at this story, I wanted to go here, and I'm going to end on this story with Jesus. And this is a story in the book of Matthew. When Jesus came and he saw his people. And you know the story, as we read earlier, of how that the people have was out all day. They was out and they were tired. It was during the time of the Passover, and it was a time, and Jesus wanted to rest, but obviously Jesus saw the needs of the people, and the story goes on, and it talks here in Matthew 14. I'm going to turn there. Matthew 14. And when Jesus heard it of it, he said he departed thence by ship in a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with what?
Compassion.
Christ was moved with compassion. He saw their need, and their need was important, and he wanted to meet that need. And Jesus said, listen, what can I do? How can I meet this need? And I'm sure he's praying in his heart to his Father. And it says he was moved with compassion toward them. And what did he do? He began to heal the sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. It says, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. So the disciples couldn't really understand what Christ was doing. They was like, nah, just send them to the city. And it was a long journey to the city. They were tired. They were hungry. They couldn't go to the city. And Christ saw the need. And reality was, it was a desert. Many times in our life, saints, we're in a desert place. We don't have the money. We don't have the resources. We have no hope. We have no peace. And our life is like a desert. We can't see the end from the beginning. We can't see hope. But God is saying, no, even though you can't see, you feel like a desert. Guess who's right there with you in the desert?
Jesus.
Jesus is in the desert with us at our most loneliest, at our most toughest, at our most difficult times. Jesus is in the desert place. He's in the desert with them. And he says, listen, the disciples are like, nah. He's like, hold up. I'm in charge here. Look at what he says. But Jesus said to them, they need not depart. Give ye them to what? To eat. As I like to say, give them something to chew on. Jesus said, nah, we're not sending them away. We're going to give them something better. We're going to give them something to eat. And now God gets to work. Jesus gets to work. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But Jesus says, no, that's, they said, that's not enough. But Christ is saying, you don't know who I am. He said, bring them hither to me. Bring them hither to me. And watch what he does. The Bible says this. He's bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves. Who did he give it to, saints? He gave it to the disciples. And the disciples did what? Gave it to the people. Notice how God works. God is the one who supplies. I was listening to a sermon this morning. Somebody was saying the same thing. He said that the heavenly supply chain, we got to not worry about what we got to get to the people. Don't worry about the food. Worry about the God who actually does what? The supplying. And as you focus on the supplier, you're always going to have enough resources to meet the needs of the people. And if you don't, you go back to God, get on your knees and say, God, help me. I can't see the end from the beginning, but God always comes through. Back to my life and in closing. You know, my life, again, I was adopted into a family with the last name Chu. Can you believe that? It was like a miracle, right? And it was a black family. It wasn't even an Asian family. Like, everybody thought I was Asian, right? They're like, Chef Chu. They're like, oh, he comes out. I was a black guy. That's kind of funny. Like, this is really. The funniest things, man. I got so many hilarious, like, people like, whoa. They're super surprised. And interesting enough, again, my mother sent me to church when I was a little baby boy. About 3rd grade, and I went to church all throughout, you know, my high school years. And my senior high school, I actually broke my leg in a race. I was a track runner and broke my leg in a race. And I had been to church most of my life. My parents didn't practice Seventh Adventism or the Sabbath, anything like that, but I knew about it. I went to church with my uncle and my aunt, and I decided to actually give my scholarship up after I broke my leg so that I could become a Sabbath keeper. And it was a crazy situation. So my leg breaks in a race, which has never really happened that I knew of, like in high school. My leg breaks, literally. And now I'm like, I have a full scholarship to go to school. And I decided to give my scholarship up. And now I'm in the church. I begin to read all these books that I was sharing with you, all these counsels about healthy eating and food and all this type of stuff. And I said, man, God, this is amazing. And I started changing my life, and I stopped partying and gave my life to Christ and all that happened. And so God was leading me. And 10 years later, I'm a chef, and now I'm Chef Chu. And I'm like, God was just had a sense of humor. Last year, I'm going to tell you how good God is. Last year, I met my biological father's family. Anybody ever do Ancestry before? Heard of that? And it works. It's crazy enough. My wife met her father as well and his family. And I met my father, my biological father's family. But crazy enough, I met my biological family. And believe it or not, they were, guess what? Seventh-day Adventists. Could you imagine? They were literally Seventh-day Adventists. My aunt, my wife knew my aunt. Like, she knew my aunt and my uncle. Like, she knew them. Like, they were friends, like, for years. And it was just like, this is crazy. And we knew the same people. My cousin, the reason why we knew there was seven that had been when I first met my cousin, who we met first, she had a picture of her and Doug Batchelor. We was like, now why would this person have a picture of Doug Batchelor? Like, it was like the weirdest thing. And she had went to GYC and all these different places. It was like, no, this just can't be. It was like, and she knew people that my wife knew and friends, you know, same friends. And we saw God just doing something. And for me, I came full circle to realize that God, I read a scripture in the book of Psalms. I will lead thee, I will instruct thee, and I will teach thee in the way where thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I want to encourage you guys today as I close out this morning that God is in the business of guiding his children with his eye. Amen. God always knows what we need. He is the one that has the cattle that says on 1,000 hills. He rained manna from heaven. He fed nations during a famine. He gave these individuals, these 5,000, that five loaves and two fishes. And he did it again, the 4,000 the Bible talks about. And that's just the men, not including the women and children. So it probably had to be a good 20,000 people out there that day. And so God knows how to supply our needs. And I just want to say today, saints, sometimes you feel like God can't do it. God is not there. You're feeling lonely. You feel like you're in that desert place. I want to propose today to you that God has never left you nor forsaken you. And he has always, 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 he's always on time. I'm excited for this church. There's been some change. And change is good, amen?
Amen.
And God is going to use the change as an opportunity to magnify and to multiply, amen?
Amen.
So I'm excited this afternoon. I got actually my wife, she prepared some delicious, some of the better two proteins. And I know the ladies here that's been cooking this week, we can't wait to have a good meal. We got the chicken that looked like chicken. Tastes like chicken, but guess what? It ain't chicken. We got the ribs that look like ribs, taste like ribs, but guess what? It ain't ribs. Come on now. And you know, the funny thing, I got to end with this. You know, in heaven, there ain't going to be no more dishes in heaven, y'all.
Amen.
When you finish eating, you ain't got to clean up nothing. You know, and it's fitting because in heaven made new, the cleaning work is done. All this warfare that we got to go on internally in our souls, seeing all this hurt and pain, it will one day be wiped away. No more dishes to clean, y'all. It'll all be cleaned up through the blood of Christ. So I want to tell you guys as we close our eyes today, just don't give up on yourself. My biggest prayer for myself, God, don't give up on me. Many times we, at times, doubt. We fear. We got all kind of messed up brokenness inside of us, and sometimes it's tough to deal with those things. Don't give up on yourself, because God says he will never give up on you. Eyes closed. God, we want to thank you this morning. Thank you for your word, dear Lord. Thank you for always being a God that knows what we need. Thank you for always doing the exceeding and the abundant. Always being there for us when we cannot see how it's going to work out. I know there's someone today that's going through some things that nobody might not know. Other families here might not know what you're going through. And it's not really their business, but it is God's business. And God is right there with you. And my prayer today is that we will lay those things on the altar, that even though it might not change overnight, that we would know that we can be at peace. We can be at rest because Christ is our Savior. You, Father, you are right there with us, guiding us. And you're our daddy and you are there with us. And so we just ask you, God, to just give us that peace in the midst of our storms. Help us to see and believe in the dream. I pray for this community here in Sacramento, that you, Lord, will work a work. Pray for a restaurant, Lord. This is a vision of this church, and I know that you can do it. And I'm just asking God to work miracles. We want to say all these things in the precious name, in the blood of Christ. Amen. Amen.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. To rest upon his promise, just to know the faithful Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, 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 oh, for grace to trust him.
Thank you so much again for this wonderful Sabbath, Lord. I thank you so much, Lord, for being a God that we can trust. You never have let us down. Even though we don't always understand it, Lord, you always are always there. And I just pray that you would just be with us for the remainder of the Sabbath. Be with us also. We have this wonderful meal together, Lord, this afternoon as well. In Jesus' name, amen.